Morning, everyone. Jazakumullah khair for attending. It's nice to see so many faces. Alhamdulillah. Today is a continuation of our classes with Sheikh Riyad on Imam Ghazali's Ihya. So inshallah, I pray it's sort of benefit. I'll just pass it over to Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tama'ninatan lil qulub wa jila'an laha 'ala ghayn ad-dhunub wa matharatan li waswas al-khannas al-makdub والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to our 33rd. This is lecture number 33. In our series on Ikhlas and its related subjects. Last week we concluded the reading of the chapter on Ta'at, acts of worship, and its relationship to Niyyah, its relationship to intention. And in that lesson we discussed several points. The first was that we should seek to increase the value of our deeds by actively fostering multiple good intentions, benefiting, of course, from the idea of multiplicity in motivation with Imam Ghazali's example, which was the simple example of sitting in the room, sitting in the masjid, and we saw how it was possible to foster at least 8 different good intentions for one simple deed, for sitting in the masjid, al-julusu fil masjid. The first was the intention to be the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second was intention to be in Rabat, to be stationed. The third was the intention to be in i'tikaf. The fourth was the intention to fix one's thoughts on Allah and the hereafter. Number 5 was the intention to clear the mind of worldly occupations and fill it with the dhikr of Allah. And number 6 was the intention to call towards righteous deeds and forbid evil, which is the duty of every Muslim. But there is no other Prophet to come on the face of this earth, and it is the responsibility of members of this Ummah to take the message of calling to Allah, the message of recognizing Allah and preparing for the next life. That is our responsibility as Muslims. Number 7 was to increase our circle of brotherhood, intensifying the connection between the believers. That was number 7, intensifying the social structure of Islam, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan, a believer to a believer, the structure of the ummah is like a building, yashuddu ba'dahu ba'da, that it supports each other, they're closely knit, and when we are in the proximity of other Muslims, and this is something we'll come back to. Now, number 8 was the intention to avoid sinning on account of shame in violation of the sanctity of the place where you find yourself, which is in the masjid, on shame of being in the house of Allah, in the presence of Allah. So those were the 8 intentions that you can foster for that simple act of just sitting in the masjid. The second point we reflected on was an aspect of the mechanism of the mind in relation to motives and the configurations of intentions in the heart. In that the more knowledge we possess of fada'ilul a'mal, of virtues of particular deeds, the easier it is to foster these multiple motivations while engaged in a particular deed. So that this was a mechanism of the mind that we identified, we saw in the example that Imam Ghazali gave, is that if you have the knowledge of the virtues, that then you will be able to build multiple intentions and multiple motivations, similar to the mechanism that is at play when we develop the yearning in our hearts for a new device, a new model of a device. We are told that it has this feature and that feature and that feature. Eventually, that knowledge of the features then draws the heart towards acquiring that new model, that new. So it's a similar thing, but obviously with immense difference in the reward. So we also said that this was necessary for a countering the preponderance of knowledge we possess about our worldly life, about living in this world, about material stuff. Thanks to advertising, we know a lot about the virtue of this world. Remember what we said about 10,000 messages daily. So we're called now to have to address that imbalance by recognizing the virtues of value in the next life. Number three was that while studying a course on Ikhlas, we said that it was useful to reflect on one of the major contemporary success stories in fostering Ikhlas in a colossal scale. And the example, that success story was to learning about Fada'il, the success story of Jama'at al-Tabligh, which is one of the most successful Muslim organizations in the world today. When it comes to, especially, of course, when it comes to inculcating Ikhlas in its followers on a grand scale, and I'm talking here about scale. Now, this is not to say that other Muslim organizations do not teach Ikhlas to their members. Of course, they do. But the sheer scale in terms of the numbers found in Jama'at al-Tabligh is unique to that movement compared to, for example, the sheer scale. We're talking here, take for example another Muslim organization, for the famous Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood, which also started in the 1920s. Their numbers range between 2 to 2.5 million today. Whereas Jama'at al-Tabligh is between, and these are conservative estimates, is 80 to 100 million. So we're talking about a grand scale, and one of the reasons that we can see this spreading of the effort to build iman and is rooted in the types of ikhlas, the type of sincerity that it fosters. You wouldn't have a movement travel on it, a spread like this at 100 million over 160 countries, without something quite profound. Now, another pertinent point, and of course, it is this emphasis on learning about the fata'il allows people to then address the imbalance of virtue for the next life, and then to pile on the intentions one after the other. But another pertinent point here is that it relates to what we've been labeling the VT effect. Do you remember what the VT effect was? The volume of time effect, which we've been talking about all the way through. So I want this to become something people talk about, the VT, volume of time, because this is something that is particularly important. And bring to mind the example of the dog. I said, the ugly dog will become your pet if you spend time with it, and that's the logic of it. Now, one of the secrets of the success of Tablighi Jamaat is that their entire effort is structured around a concentrated focus on the value of time. Is that you will hear them saying, "Yeah, walk lagao bhai, walk lagao, walk lagao." You know, spend time. How much time will you spend? And this is of such importance, an intrinsic part of the program, that if someone comes along and says, "Oh, I have £1 million to donate," they will say, "Okay, well, keep your money, but tell us how long you're willing to spend with us," because the time value is more important here. You know, I remember when I used to be in India. I don't know if they have changed the rules here now, but if a Jamaat goes into a locality and they work on this principle, Hijrat and Nusrat. You know, Hijra, this is Urdu, but it's Arabic. Hijra and Nusra. When a Jamaat goes to a locality, this is a group of people go and stay in the mosque. If a local person wants to host them, give them food, the condition is that person is not allowed. They are not allowed to accept the food until he he gives his name, he subscribes, he says that he promises to go for 40 days. So that's the value of the time. I don't know if that is that here now or not? I don't know if there is. But yeah, there is that, to that extent. And the logic is that if you have a diamond in the gutter and you pour water on it, it will remove some of the dirt, but it's in that, until you take that diamond out of the gutter and pour water out of its environment, then you will not be able to clean it properly. And that's where you see hearts are soiled with the environments in which we are, with all these messages of the beauty and value of the dunya. So it's about removing oneself. And so pouring and cleaning the water will help, but, and so it is for the human being, the human heart, it has to be taken out of the environment of distractions and corruptions in order to be cleaned and polished. And that's the logic. Now today, what I want to do is to expand on the motivation number 7. What was motivation number 7? It was to enhance your sense of brotherhood and sohbah, which is connecting to each other. This was number 7 in the list that we just covered, which was gaining companionship and friendship and sohbah. Brother Riaz asked a very important question also regarding it last week, which was, what does it mean to love someone for the sake of Allah? And this is an important question that people need to understand, because we can end up muddling it in our minds and then not recognizing what we are doing. So it's important to know that. And alhamdulillah, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi addresses this question particularly in another part of the book, which I would like to read to you today. But before I do that, I want to complete the background introduction that I gave you last week when I spoke about the history of Jamaat Tabligh and about the founder, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi. I said that I would tell you something about the father, something about the mother, and something about the brother. His brother, who was Maulana Muhammad Yahya rahmatullah alayhi, played a major role in his upbringing, in his training. And I spoke to you about the mother and father, but I didn't get to give you the story that I wanted to tell you about his brother, his elder brother, Maulana Yahya. And the story is that he was an imam in the village, in a village in Kaldla, and of the Jamia Masjid. And the Jamia Masjid was located near to a Hindu temple. And a dispute erupted between the Hindus and the Muslims as to who owns that land between the two institutions, the two places, the two buildings. And the Muslims, and eventually the matter got to the court, and it was the British Raj, so the British judge said to them, look, you're saying this and we're saying this, we don't know, is there anyone who you can bring for as witness to say, to support your case? So the Hindus, the Muslims say, well, we have to find someone who both sides would agree that this person is a valid witness. And they agreed upon the imam, who was there for a long time, and said, okay, well, this imam, he's a pious man. The Muslims were jubilant that when the Hindus agreed, say, yes, he's a pious man, he's a fair man, they knew him as a fair man. The Hindus knew him as a fair man, so they were happy, and the Muslims were jubilant. Saying, oh, yeah, this is our imam, he will say, yes, it's the masjids. And so he went into the court, and the judge asked him, there was some discussions about the arrangement, how he would come to court and what's not. But anyway, eventually he says, when the question was posed to him, he said that I have no idea who the land belongs to, but what I do know that it does not belong to the mosque. So the Muslims were flabbergasted. They, well, what has happened here? That this is our imam, and he has just given this land to, and maybe our forefathers, this land belonged to them. But he's saying, I don't know, but I know it doesn't belong to them. So the judge then ruled in favor of the Hindus, gave the land to the Hindus, and they signed off on it, and says, and in his notes, in the notes, he wrote his impression in there, and he said, today, one of the things he wrote on the order was that today, the Hindus have won. The Muslim, the Hindus have won. The Muslims have lost the case but Islam was triumphant. The Hindus went home that night, this same group of Hindus who were in the dispute, and they started discussing it among themselves, of what had happened. The Muslims started wondering, had they bribed him or something, you know, what has happened here? Eventually, in the middle of the night, they came to the conclusion that if this is the piety and sincerity of the follower of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what would be the level of his spiritual development and piety and sincerity of the one who he follows, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And they started asking themselves this question among each other. And then eventually, they all agreed that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was someone that is the highest that they have ever learnt about through this man. So we should go to the man's house. So they go, knocked on his door at night, in the middle of the night, and says, look, and because of the way Hindu religion teaches you about spirituality, they were worried that something might happen to them. So they went and they knocked on the door, said, we want to give you, he said, well, we want to sign over the land to you, because you did the right thing, and we want to give it to you. And he said, I don't want it. But then they said, okay, well, if that's the case, they had another discussion, and they come back and they said that if you are this, if this is your level, then you have to teach us, recite for us the kalima, because we want to be followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That entire group became Muslim that night. And then eventually the case went back, they took the case back to the court and said that now that we have become Muslim, we want to write that land in the name of the masjid. This was the type of sincerity and ikhlas that, you know, that Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi grew up in. These were the kinds of people. So that's a story about Mawlana Muhammad Yahya rahmatullah alayhi, who was the father of our great Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi. He was the one, Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, wrote the book Fada'il al-A'mal, because his uncle Mawlana Ilyas told him to write it, asked him to write it. These are snippets to give you an idea of where this movement came out from. Okay, so now to come back to the intention number 7 and Brother Riyaz's question, what does it mean when we say we love someone for the sake of Allah? Of course, there is great value, which we have covered in this. We said that this is on the Day of Judgment. Inna ahabbakum ila Allahi alladhina ya'lafuna wa yu'lafuna wa inna abghadakum ila Allahi al-mashya'una bin namimati wal-mufarraquna bayna al-ahibba wa bayna al-ikhwan. That on the Day of Judgment, the people that the most beloved in the eyes of Allah, the most beloved on the Day of Judgment are those people who are warm and accommodating and friendly and pleasant and welcoming to people, and who people are attracted to. People who are attractive, whose conduct and akhlaq, whose character is such that it is warm and appealing and attractive. And they exude friendliness. Inna Allah Ta'ala yaqulu yawm al-qiyamati aina al-mutahabbuna bijalali. That Allah will say on the Day of Judgment, Where are those? Where are those who had mutual love for the sake of my glory? And today I shall shade them where I will shade them when there will be no shade except mine. So now, to treat the topic in Ihya, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi wrote this in his book Kitab al-Sahbati wal-Ukhuwati wal-Mu'asharati ma'a Asnaf al-Khalq. This is the book, one of the 40 books of the Ihya, is made up of 40 books. So this is in that book, the book of etiquettes of sociability, brotherhood, friendship, and companionship with various kinds of people. Now the chapter that deals with your question is called Bayanu Ma'na al-Ukhuwati fi Allahi wa Tamyiziha 'ani al-Ukhuwati fi Dunya. That an exposition of the meaning of brotherhood for the sake of Allah and the way of distinguishing it from the brotherhood for the sake of the world. How do you distinguish it? So he says, The first thing he says, اعلم أن الحب في الله والبغض في الله غامض. That know that the love for the sake of Allah and disdain, hatred for the sake of Allah is غامض. That it is, the word غامض means that it's abstruse, it's obscure, perplexing, complex, mysterious. But, and then he says, but what I will tell you, what I will make it clear in the following explanations. He says, هو أن الصحبة تنقسم إلى ما يقع بالاتفاق. That friendship, companionship, camaraderie are of two types. One that happens through coincidence of your life, you know, where you live. So he's saying, بسبب الجواري أو بالاجتماعي أو المكتب أو في المدرسة أو في السوق أو على باب السلطان أو في الأسفار. That you will have coincidences where you will fall into camaraderie. You will have through the neighborhood, meeting in a library, school, meeting on journeys, etc. But then there's another form. He said, وإلى ما ينشأ اختيارا ويقصد. But there are another form with which is pursued, which is actively sought. Companionship, a camaraderie that you seek out. And وَالصُحْبَةُ, and what does صُحْبَة means? The ibaratun an صُحْبَة, he's saying, what does it mean? What does this camaraderie and companionship and brotherhood means? He says, عِبَارَةٌ, it is describable through عَنِ الْمَجَالِسِ, عِبَارَةٌ عَنِ الْمَجَالِسِ وَالْمُخَالَطَةِ وَالْمُجَاوَرَةِ. صُحْبَة is that sitting together, spending time together, socializing together, being generally together, there's a togetherness. And these are things which a person engages on only, and he's saying فَإِنَّ that لا يقصد الإنسان بها غيره إلا إذا أحبه. That a person does not seek the company of someone or for brotherhood, or that socializing, unless there is some degree of love. You have to love. There's some degree of love there has to exist. That they will not engage, because a person only engages voluntarily in that pursuit when there is love and appreciation between people. Without love, there will be distancing, and socializing will not be pursued. So now he says, he said, وَالَّذِي يُحِبُّ إِمَّا أَن يُحِبُّ لِذَاتِهِ لَا يُتَوَصَّلَ بِهِ إِلَى مَحْبُوبٍ مَقْصُودٍ وَرَاءَهُ. So he said that there are some, the first category is that a person may love someone, appreciate them, and have an appreciation and liking for someone because of something, because of themselves, something in themselves. There is no ulterior reason why he loves this person. They love them for who they are, either for إِمَّا يُحِبُّ لِلْتَوَصُّلِ بِهِ, and sometimes it would be for their beauty or for their conduct or for their knowledge or something of that sort. And then the second aspect is that you may love someone for an alternative motive. And that motive can either be for the fortunes of the world or for the fortunes of the akhirah. So these are two other aspects. إِمَّا يَكُونَ مُتَعَلِّقًا بِاللَّهِ أَوْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So from that perspective, it's divided into four categories. You will have four categories. So he explains each one in turn. He says, أما القسم الأول فهو حب الإنسان وهو حبك للإنسان لذاته. فذلك ممكن, that you may love someone for themselves, in themselves. وهو أن يكون هو في ذاته محبوبا عندك على أنك تلتذ برؤيته ومعرفته ومشاهدة أخلاقه لاستحسانك له. فإن كل جميل لذيذ. That to love a person for their beauty, either external or internal, beautiful features or qualities, acquire acquaintance with any beautiful characteristic, is naturally enjoyable. But love can blossom also without these. He said, ثُمَّ ذَلِكَ الْمُسْتَحْدِينَ, it may blossom without that. You will find that there's something that فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ تِسْتَحْكُمِ الْمَوَدَّةَ بَيْنَ شَخْصَيْنَ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَلَاحَةٍ فِي الصُّورَةِ وَلَا حُسْنٍ فِي خَلْقٍ وَخُلُقٍ. Walakin, that people can also come together, they can develop these relationships without any of that. There's some subtle, deep affinity between people, and you don't, and they, it cannot be explained. You would see people connecting, and it's not explained, you cannot explain it in terms of appearances or in terms of what the person has or attractions. There's something else. You can feel it. And he's saying, فَإِنَّ شَبَهَ الشَّيْءِ مَنْجُوبَةً. And it is usually because of similarities between the two individuals. You will have some sort of similarities. وَالْأَشْبَاءُ الْبَاطِنَةِ الْخَفِيَةِ. Or something internally similar. It might not be externally. You know, once they talk about for birds flock together, Sheikh said he saw once a crow and a pigeon hanging out a lot, you know, moving around together. And he was astonished that this is the birds flock together. These are two. And then he started to wonder. And then before they flew off, both of them had a limp. So there's Shabbat. There is some similarity between the two. That's why they've become companions now. So, but anyway, in relation to this subtle internal connection between individuals, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this deep-seated connection that draws people together into friendship and closeness, this is a natural attraction between similar souls or souls that have met. And this is explained in the souls that have met prior to coming on earth. And this is explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Al-arwahu junudum mujannada," that the souls are like marshaled troops. When troops are marshaled, they stand next to each other. So the ones that are distant are distant. But the ones next to each other, they recognize each other. So he said they're like marshaled troops who recognize one another there will have an affinity here. And who is distant there will be separated here. And those marshaled souls meet and it is as though they sense each other in the ear. You will feel a connection. And so far, so much so that some of the scholars, he said, وَقَدْ كَنَّ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that some of the scholars say, عَنْ هَذَا بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْأَرْوَاحِ, that Allah has created the souls. فَفَلَقَ بَعْضَ فَلْقًا, بَعْضَهَا فَلْقًا, that he's split some of them into two. وَأَطَافَهَا حَوْلَ الْعَرْشِ فَأَيُّ رُوحَيْنِ مِنْ فَلَقَتَيْنِ تَعَارَفَ هُنَاكَ فَالْتَقَى وَتَوَاصَلَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So those two souls, and he makes them do tawaf, circumambulation around the throne, and those two that meet there will recognize each other here and continue the relationship. And this happens a lot. An interpretation that this happens a lot in marriages, that a person meets someone and you feel like we're, you know, they talk about soulmates. That is how they explain it, that you feel a husband and wife feel like they knew each other even before they got married. So sometimes the souls can connect in such a way. And there's a hadith reported in Musnad also by Imam Ahmad and by Imam Bukhari in his Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. He said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ أَرْوَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا يَلْتَقِيَانِ عَلَى مَصِيرَةِ يَوْمٍ وَمَا رَأَى أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبَهُ قَطْ. That the souls of the believers may meet from a distance of a whole night and day's travel, even though they have not met each other. That the souls may meet them. There may be some connection, some affinity between it. So this is there's a deep kind of connection that is rooted in our time prior to our existence on earth. As the example, one example is that, you know, there used to be a woman in Mecca in time of the Sahaba, and they knew her. She was a very jolly woman, and she made people laugh all the time. She was very humorous. Well, she had a very high sense of humor, and people would laugh. She would make people laugh all the time. And then there was a woman similar to her in Medina. They didn't know each other. No one knew. And she used to also make people laugh in Medina. So the one from Mecca visited Aisha. She visited Medina. She came to Medina, and she came to visit Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she said, so where are you staying? And she said, I'm staying with so-and-so. And it turns out to be it's the woman that was exactly like her. And in response, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, صدق الله وصدق رسوله, that Allah has spoken the truth, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken the truth, that junudun mujannada, that souls that are similar to each other, they connect. So you can connect from a distance, and sometimes you would go. And there's another hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you know, if there's a 100 if in a masjid. This is a, it's awkama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, it's an athar, so we're not completely sure about the riwayah, about the sanad, but it's in the Ihya, Imam Ghazali ascribes it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that law anna mu'minan dakhala, لو أن مؤمنا دخل إلى المسجد فيه مية منافق ومؤمن واحد لجأ حتى يجلس إليه. He said that if a believer enters a masjid in which there is 100 hypocrites, right, and there is one believer, he will go and sit next to the believer. And he said, ولو أن منافقا دخل إلى المسجد وفيه مية مؤمن ومنافق واحد. And if there is 100 believers and a hypocrite enters, he will go and sit, and only one hypocrite, he will go and sit next to that one hypocrite. You will find that happening. So that's the attraction he's talking about. So he said, وَهَذَا الْحُبْ, and this love, this connection that between people, is لَا يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ الْحُبُّ لِلَّهِ, that this is not love for the sake of Allah. All of these that we've just talked about, these are not love for the sake of Allah. بَلْ هُوَ حُبٌّ لِلطَّبَعَ وَشَهْوَةِ النَّفْسِ وَيُتَصَوَّرُ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا لَا يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, that this is something that is connected to the soul, connected to desire, connected to taba, to your natural inclinations, to that affinity, to your history of your soul. But it is imaginable that this can happen for people who don't believe in Allah as well. This is also there. So he said, يتصور لا يؤمن إلا أنه إذا تصل بغرض. But if the motivation is correct, then it will be praiseworthy, and the reverse, vice versa. And so he's saying, والقسم الثاني أن يحبه لينال منه من ذاته غير ذاته فيكون وصيلة إلى محبوب غيره. That he's the second category now. That was the first category, that you love for themselves, love for a person for who they are. But then you might love someone for something, for a reason beyond that, something else. Wasila, there's a means you love. Well, wasila to ila mahbubin mahbubun, and the means to a beloved is beloved, right? Means. وَمَا يُحِبُّ لِغَيْرِهِ كَانَ ذَلِكَ الْغَيْرُ هُوَ مَحْبُوبٌ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ. So whatever is loved for the sake of meeting something, then that love, that the means between it. So he says, وَلَكِنَّ الطَّرِيقَ إِلَى الْمَحْبُوبِ مَحْبُوبٌ. The path to the beloved is beloved. وَلِذَلِكَ أَحَبَّ النَّاسَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ ولا غرض فيهما إلا إذ لا يطعمان ولا يشربان. And this is for this reason that people love gold and silver. You cannot eat. If there is a famine, then you can have all the gold and silver, and you will not be able to benefit from it. You love it for what you can get, which is beyond that. What so that's a means through which. So ولكن وصيلة. فمن الناس وإن لم يكن مقصود الفائدة على الدنيا ولكنه ليس يقصد به إلا الدنيا كحب التلميذ. And then there are other things that you can love. You can love like a person, like تلميذ لأستاذه. فهو عيد خارج عن حب الله. If a student loves a teacher who is giving him knowledge, but his purpose of knowledge is to impress people, then that's a dunya reason. He said, because then it becomes a wasila. وصيلة, he said, بل لينال به الجاه والمال والقبول عند الخلق, so that he may gain station. He's learning, he's getting a lot of knowledge from this teacher, so he loves the teacher, but that love is for a worldly purpose, because he wants to get acceptance with people, he wants to earn station, and he wants people, you know, if you're studying even knowledge of deen, but your purpose is to become famous or to get position and to get leadership or to become famous on the internet, then that is a dunya reason. That is not that doesn't fall under hubbun fillah, even if you love someone who is teaching you Quran. Then the third category is love of someone in themselves, but for an ulterior motive that is not worldly. And that's the third category, that you love someone. قسم الثالث أن يحبه أن يحبه لذاته بل لا لذاته أن يحبه لا لذاته بل لغيره. It's also an ulterior motive. You love someone for an ulterior motive. وذلك الغير ليس راجعا إلى حدوده في الدنيا. And this is the key, that the ulterior motive it does not connect to something of this dunya. It does not connect to the worldly, to a worldly fortune. بل يرجع إلى حدود في الآخرة إلى حدوده في الآخرة. It is to something in the akhirah. It is something in the hereafter. فهذا أيضا ظاهر لا غامض. This is clear. There is no obtuse nature of this. وذلك كمن يحب أستاذه وشيخه لأنه يتوصل به إلى تحصيل العلم وتحسين العمل. That this is like a person who loves his sheikh and his teacher because he is bringing him towards something that brings him closer to Allah and closer to akhirah, closer to benefit. فهذا من جملة المحبين في الله. This is these are the relationships that are on the basis of love for Allah, love for the sake of Allah. وكذلك من يحب تلميذه, and it's so it is for the teacher who loves his student because that student will then ينال به بواسطة رتبة التعليم. That teacher loves his student because he is gaining the position of teacher for the benefit of the akhirah, and that person will become sadaqah jariyah for him, a continuous charity for him. So it is also hubbun fillah. بل يتصدق بأمواله, and then this goes on. Then you can take this now further and further deep into anything that has this relationship. So he's saying يجمع الضيفين, a person who may want to feed people for the sake of Allah. But then he has a cook that cooks the food. So he loves the cook because the cook is cooking the food and helping him with the feeding for the sake of Allah. So it's connected. He said, and so it is for كَذَلِكَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ مَنْ يَتَوَلَّ إِصَالَ الصَّدَقَةَ, the one who takes the charity, and the one who says إِذَا أَحَبَّ مَنْ يَخْدِمُهُ بِنَفْسِهِ فِي غَسْلِ ثِيَابِهِ وكنس بيته وطبخ طعامه ويفرغه بذلك للعمله. The one who he loves, the one who helps him to wash his clothes and who to cook his food and frees up time so that he can study knowledge to get close to Allah, then that is love for Allah. وليس من شرط حب الله أن لا يحب في العاجلة حظا البتة. So it is not a condition of love for the sake of Allah to love nothing else in the dunya, to love things in the dunya, but is, of course, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, he's saying that the salawat, that is amar al-anbiya salawatullahi alayhim, to make this dua, rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana, oh Allah, grant us good in this world and grant us good in the next. But the criterion is, there's a criterion attached to it, and that criterion, wahadduhu huwa anna kulla hubbin, that every love, لولا الإيمان بالله والآخرة لم يتصور وجوده. That if that love will not be possible, he said, this is what you have to understand. هو أن كل love, that every love that you have of this sort, if you did not have belief in آخرة and إيمان, it would not be possible. So if you attach that criterion and you find that it is still possible, then it is not love for Allah. It is the one, or if it cannot be intensified because of the love for Allah, then it is not. فهو حب في الله. As long as it is wujud, its existence is dependent on the belief in akhirah and the belief in Allah, then it is love for Allah. وكذلك كل زيادة في الحب, and every intensification of that love. لولا الإيمان بالله لم تكن تلك الزيادة. That increase will not be without the belief in Allah. فتلك الزيادة من الحب في الله فذلك وإن دق فهو عزيز. Now, there's a fourth category now. He says, والقسم الرابع أن يحب لله وفي الله, that you love for Allah and in the religion of Allah. Now, that's a deeper one. لا ينال منه علما أو عملا أو يتوصل به إلى أمر ورائه, that he's not gaining any, there's nothing other that is connected to it. He's not gaining from it a knowledge or any benefit, any action through it that is beyond it. It's just love. وَهَذَا أَعْلَى الدَّرَجَاتِ, and this is the highest level of love. وَهُوَ دَقُّهَا وَأَغْمَضُهَا, and it is the most subtle and the most abstruse. So this is the complex one. وَهَذَا الْقِسْمُ أَيْضًا مُمْكِنٌ, and this is also possible. فَإِنَّ مِنْ آثَارِ غَلَبَةِ الْحُبِّ, that verily, of the effects of love, of true love, أن يتعدى من المحبوب إلى كل ما يتعلق بالمحبوب ويناسبه. That of the effects of true love, is that it transcends the beloved to everything that is connected to the beloved. Everything that pertains to the beloved, it transcends. وَلَوْ مِنْ بُعْدٍ, even from a distance. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ إِنسَانًا حُبًّا شَدِيدًا, that if you love someone with an intense love, أَحَبَّ مُحِبَّ الْإِنسَانِ, you will love the person, you will love those who love Rasul, who love that person. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَحِبُّونِي لِحُبِّ اللَّهِ إِيَّا, that love me for the love of Allah towards me. المحبوب المحبوب محبوب, that the beloved of the beloved is beloved. So that is, so he's saying وَلَوْ مِنْ بُعْدٍ, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ إِنسَانًا وَأَحَبَّ مَحْبُوبُهُ, you love those who love him, وَأَحَبَّ أَنْ يَخْدِمَهُ وَأَحَبَّ أَنْ يُثْنِي وَأَحَبَّ مَنْ يُثْنِي عَلَيْهِ, and he will love those who praise him. He will love وَأَحَبَّ مَنْ يَتَسَارَعُ إِلَى رِضَاعِ مَحْبُوبِهِ, and he will love those who strive to please his beloved. حَتَّى قَالَ بَقِيَّةُ بْنُ الْوَلِيدِ, and he's quoting here one of the scholars who said, he said this, he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ, that if a believer really loves a mu'min intensely, أَحَبَّ كَلْبَهُ, he will even love his dog. So he said, وَهُوَ كَمَا قَالَ, and he said, it is so. وَيَشْهَدَ التَّجْرُبَةُ فِي أَحْوَالِ الْعُشَّاقِ, and if you look, this is confirmed in the life and the situation, from the experience that we know of people of the great romances, people who fell in great love, in deep love with their beloved. We know this. وَيَدُلَّ عَلَيْهِ أَشْعَارُ الشُّعَرَاءِ, and even the poems, in the poems of the poets, you would find this clearly articulated. وَلِذَلِكَ يَحْفَظُ صَوْبَ الْمَحْبُوبِ وَتَحْفَتُهُ, and this is why يُحْفَظُ ثوب المحبوب, that you will find that the clothes of the beloved is kept in order because it's connected to him. That they will kiss the clothes and hold the clothes and touch the clothes. That is love. وتحفته وتذكرة من جهة. So it reminds us. ويحب منزلته ومحله وجيرانه. It loves his neighborhood and his street and his neighborhoods. حتى قال مجنون بني عامر. This is, you know, the story of Layla and Majnun. So he's saying here that he's quoting what Qais Bani Amir said about Layla. He said, أمر على الديار ديار ديار ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار ذا الجدار. He said, I pass through the dwellings of the dwellings of Layla, and I kiss the door, I kiss the walls and the fences, I kiss the walls and walls and fences. وما حب الديار شغفنا قلبي, but it is not the love of these fences and walls that fascinate my heart. ولكن حب من سكن الديار, ولكن الديار, ولكن حب من سكن الديار, but it is the love of the one who dwells within these walls. So that it's the connection. So فإذن, so he said, therefore المشاهدة والتجربة تدل على أن الحب يتعدى من ذات المحبوب إلى ما يحيط به ويتعلق به. That we know from experience that the love of the beloved transcends to everything that surrounds them and connects to them. ويتعلق بأسبابه ويناسبه, anything that is close. ولكن ذلك من خاصية فرط المحبة, and this is particular to an intensification of the love. So if you love Allah, so he's saying فأصل المحبة لا يكفي, not just love but intensification of the love. ويكون اتساع الحب في اتساع, and then the love will spread, that transcendent of the love, it will spread, the spread of the love will be in to everything, ما يتعلق به بأسباب إفراط وقوته, but that same strength of the love will dictate the strength of the spread and the extent of it. So if the love is extent, if it's very strong, then it will stray. You know, there's a story that a group of people were praying in the forest, and Qais, the same person, walked past and walked on his musalla in front of them, and they were going. And then, and they were praying, so later on they caught up with him in the forest, and they said, you know, we were praying and you walked right in front of us. And he said, oh, subhanAllah, did you see me? He said, yes, I saw, we all saw you, we walked right in front of us. And he said, and you were praying to your beloved, and you saw me? He said, yes. He said, I was going in search of my beloved, and I didn't see you. So that is the level of love that can develop. So he said, وكذلك حب الله سبحانه وتعالى. And so is the love for Allah. إذا قوي وغلب على قلب. And if it strengthens and it dominates the heart, استولى عليه حتى انتهى إلى حد الاستهتار. That it gets to the corners of the heart. In all, it takes over the whole heart. فيتعدى إلى كل موجود سواه. And then it extends to everything else. If inna kull mawjoodin siwahu atharun min, that everything else is connected to Allah. He said, man ahabba insanan ahabba san'atihi, that when a person loves someone, he loves their actions, wa khattahu, and he loves their writing and he loves their actions. Wa lidhalika kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha humila ilayhi bakuratun min al-fawakiha, that when a fresh first pluck of grapes were brought to him, or fruits were brought to him, masaha biha aynihi, that he used to take it and put it on his eyes and give karam, the first bunch of fruit that came, he would put it close to his eyes and touch it and say innahu qareebul ahdi bi rabbina, that this was recently created by our Lord, by Allah, that this has close connection because it has just come from Allah, and he would put it on his eyes. This was one of the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that hope, that is the love that Allah, that transcends to things around. You would love your Muslim brother. You would love. وَحُبُّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَارَةً يَكُونُ لِصِدْقِ الرَّجَاءِ. And the love for Allah can sometimes be in sincere hope in His promises, وَفِي مَوَعِدِهِ, and the bliss expected in the hereafter. وَمَا يُتَوَقَّعُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَعِيمِهِ وَتَارَةً لِمَا سَلَفَ مِنْ أَيَادِهِ وَسُنُوفِ نِعْمَتِهِ. And sometimes it is due to the love of His previous favors upon us, upon the lover. And وَطَارَةً لِذَاتِهِ لَا لِأَمْرٍ آخَرٍ. And sometimes it is for the love purely for Allah alone and nothing else. And what's that? And this is the subtle and highest degree of love. But that is, of course, a discussion for another time. He's saying that وَيَتَعَدَّى إِذَا قَوِيَ, if this love gets to that extent, تَعَدَّى إِلَى كُلِّ مَنْ إِلَى كُلِّ مُتَعَلِّقٍ بِهَا ضَرْبًا مِنَ التَّعَلُّقِ حَتَّى يَتَعَدَّى إِلَى مَا هُوَ فِي نَفْسِهِ مُؤْلِمٌ. He said this love can also extend to such a degree that it will transcend everything, and it will include the reduction of the sense of pain. The reduction of the sense of pain. That a person may be, whatever situation you're in, that the love will cover it. You know, the Sahaba who got stabbed, they were trapped and they tricked them, and suddenly someone stuck a spear right through him. He went to teach them Quran and they stopped. This great Sahabi, Haram ibn Malhan, stabbed him through his back and the spear came through, and he knew he was going to die. And he said, "Fuztu wa Rabbil Ka'bah," smiling. "Fuz, that I have won. I have succeeded. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded." So even the pain of that, because I'm meeting my Allah now. I mean, that word was so powerful that the man who stabbed him went around asking, how could he say he won? And eventually that word, that sentence, brought him to Islam. He became Muslim, the man who stabbed him. Anyway, al-maqsood anna hubba Allah ta'ala idha quwiya athmara hubba kulli man asbara hubbi kulli man yaqoomu bihaqqi al-ibadati Allahi fi ilmin wa amalin. That if the love of Allah has strengthened in you, then it will foster, it will create in you a love for anyone who is involved in the worship of Allah with knowledge or with action. وَأَثْمَرَ حُبَّ كُلِّ مَنْ فِيهِ صِفَةٌ مَرْضِيَّةٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That it will foster in you a love for anyone who has a characteristic that is beloved to Allah. It will foster that. من الله من خلق الحسن وتعدب في شرع. A person has an adab of shara, following the sharia. وما من مؤمن محب للآخرة ومحب لله إلا إذا أخبر عن حال الرجلين. There's no true believer who loves Allah and believes in the akhirah if that person is told about two people. عالم عابد, he's told about an alim, a scholar who is pious, a pious scholar who he did not meet, somebody in the past. And except that, an inclination will develop towards that person. An inclination, a love, some appreciation. Some connection will develop there, even though there's no physical meeting. And vice versa, if they're told about someone who is the opposite, who is fasiq, a person who is jahil fasiq, a person who is ignorant and sinful, then a distancing with developing the heart. They will not want that. And this is as well. So he's saying, فَذَٰلِكَ الْمَيْلُ هُوَ حُبٌّ فِي اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ وَمِنْ غَيْرِ حَدٍ. That this is a love for Allah and in the religion of Allah. In Allah, you're loving for Allah. And there is no connection, there's nothing to be gained, physically gained from it, except that that love transcends to everything that is connected to Allah. The love of someone who is practicing, the love of someone who has iman, the love of the creation of Allah, all of that will intensify depending on the intense love you have in your heart for Allah. And that is where hubbun fillah, the highest level of it. So that's level number 4. So in conclusion, love for each other may be for natural reasons. It may be for that subtle, mysterious reason rooted in the souls and in similarities. Or it may be for ulterior motives, ulterior worldly motives. Or it may blossom through our iman in akhirah and love for Allah. And the love for Allah can intensify and transcend everything pertaining to Allah. Like love of the walls of the city of the beloved. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love and the love of all things beloved to Him, and to love your brother and your sister because you believe they are Allah's creatures, and that Allah loves their faith, and that Allah loves their sincerity, and that Allah loves their worship, and that Allah loves their taqwa, and that Allah loves their good deeds, and Allah loves them because they are His creation. For to love someone for the reasons and for the reasons connected to Allah, the things that are pertaining to Allah, then that is the love for the sake of Allah. And the reward for such love is the honor of sitting on pulpits of nur, pulpits of light on the Day of Judgment. You know, as we learned last week, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man akha akhan fillah," that the one who takes someone as his brother, as his real brother, for the sake of Allah, رفعه الله درجة في الجنة لا ينالها بشيء من عمله. That whosoever makes someone his brother for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise him to a status in Jannah that cannot be reached by any other deed. That is the bounty. That is the reward for it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and grant us the will and the opportunity to seek these rewards in brotherly and sisterly conduct with one another. Let us pray. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبو لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك. Oh Allah, we ask you of your love and the love of those who you love. اللهم نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. يا ربي يا كريم. Oh Allah, grant us your love and grant us the love of everything you love, and grant us the actions and the deeds that take us to your love. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من أنفسنا. Oh Allah, make our love for you greater than the love for ourselves, wa ahli and our families, wa min ma'il barid and of cold water. Allahumma anta rabbuna la ilaha illa ant. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sharri ad-dunya wal akhirah. Ya Rabbi ya Kareem. Rabbana atina fi ad-dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil alameen.
Sheikh, for today's lesson, alhamdulillah, very important lessons to take from it. And it shows us that love is an inherent part of our religion, and it's important to not to dissociate that side from our tradition. So may Allah enable us to love one another for His sake. And may Allah accept it from us all. Inshallah, we'll continue next week at the same time. Jazakumullah khair.